Hey guys, this is Brad LaHuda from Missoula, Brazil, and Jiu-Jitsu and Muay Thai. If you're looking to get strangled, come check us out. We're in Missoula, Montana, and you're listening to the Function versus Fiction podcast.
You're listening to the Function versus Fiction podcast, presented by Fortress Combat Arts, Bozeman, Montana.
Thanks again, everyone, for tuning into the Function versus Fiction podcast. We really do appreciate it. We have a very special guest here on Skype with us today, Mr. Brad. How are you, man, from Missoula BJJ, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing today?
Right on. John, you with me?
Yo, hey, how's it going?
Right on. So, guys, Brad, go ahead, kind of give me a once-over with what kind of operation you're running out there in terms of the jiu-jitsu, because I know you and John met at a tournament. And you guys kind of hit it off pretty well, being small business owners on a small scale. But that doesn't mean you guys aren't motivated in trying to actually produce something that actually helps out the jiu-jitsu community.
Yeah, so just with me, like, I kind of got thrown into owning and running an academy. And we can get into that later, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
But I just wanted to... It's my hobby, like something that I really love doing. After I got out of the service, I really got it back into the grappling and wanted to run with it. And the big thing was like meeting John, and I kind of knew him over social media before I met him in person. Why I identified with John is not that we had the exact same story and, you know, focus on what we want to do with our businesses, but he had a very similar, reaction from the public of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or whatever you want to say, is like
the establishment.
Yeah. Right. You know, because he wanted to do something and they didn't think he should be doing it. And that was fairly accurate as to say what was happening with my business when I first started out. So I think that was the first big connection, at least for me.
So go ahead. Sorry.
And then just as far as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I just wanted a place to train, honestly.
Isn't that how it always starts? You just want to train. Then the next thing you know, it kind of chooses you, right? And like you kind of just, like you said, you fell into it, that conversation you and I had about a week or so ago. So, yep. John, your take on the whole thing right now. I mean, you guys met at a tournament, was it, right?
We'd met a little bit prior to that.
Okay.
Just got talking. I remember talking with him on the phone, but I don't even remember how we got hooked up. I called him up and started asking about something. I don't know. You remember that conversation, Brad?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we just like, because I'm like, I guess you could say a social media whore. I just try to find everyone in like that, you know, not necessarily martial arts, but like what I consider and stuff I like, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai. I like some of his weapons tactics outlook, I guess. You know, it wasn't hokey is most.
Yeah. You mentioned the hokey stuff, right? Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like he just tries to be, you know, realistic about it. And he's not like, this is the fucking way you do it. You know, like he's like, he showed some shit and he's like, this is the way I do it. And this is why, you know, and that's kind of my outlook look on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I show a way, not the way, kind of thing. And I don't remember exactly why he called me the first time, but, you know, we just ended up chit chatting randomly throughout the year or two that before I met him in person. But
he probably just wanted friends.
Yeah, you know.
So lonely, John.
In low places, right?
I was responding to his Craigslist ad, male seeking male. Rolling partner.
Yes, it was a
more than I expected.
So John, I know you've you've really caught fire. I think it was a couple of years ago. You really wanted to make this place a little bit more jiu-jitsu, not centric, but add that as another portion of the entire thing. Because, you know, we all need the ground game. We're dealing with that. But you had a few hurdles to overcome when trying to do that right now. And you know, the classes I've jumped in, like these guys, they're great. They're great guys and they all want to learn. So why the heck can't they? You know, just because you don't have umpteen years experience, you don't have a particular last name, So, I mean, both of you guys have ran into that. I bet $100 on that whole thing. But John, talk a little bit about that. What the evolution with why you wanted to add that so much as a flavor here at Fortress.
Well, the first time I think I got on the mats and started doing any rolling was back probably like 99, back in upstate New York. And I knew it was something that I wanted in my game. I knew it was something that I needed in my game because it wasn't part of the traditional martial arts background that I'd had. And I've just moved a lot since, haven't been in the military, haven't moved around the U.S., and it's been really hard for me to settle down anywhere and get into it. And here now that I'm running my own school, the timing is just bad because the time I'm running my classes or the time that other classes are running, that if I was going to participate in somebody else's program, you know, I couldn't be here to teach my program. So it finally just came down to where I was like, all right, I need to shore this up for myself. And as I'm teaching it, I'm learning it. That's like really what became the process for me. And
there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that, especially like I said, I like the flow. I like the flow of your classes and how you're actually showing it and the stuff you do actually works. And I think it was freaking awesome that isn't it great when you actually show something in class and then they actually do that exact same sequence or however they work into that sequence during rolling, during free sparring at the end of class.
Yeah. You see them making things work. Not only that, but when they're going to other places, they're not just staying here. I'm always encouraging people to go seek more training, especially because there's a lot more to know than what I know.
Of course.
And you know, the feedback I get back from other people that work with them, they're like, yeah, guys are tied together well, they're doing the right stuff. So it's like a verification for me that we're on the right path.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. When you know, you're like, because we all second guess ourselves when we're instructors, right? Brad included, we've all been there, and I'm sure, you know, you're kind of like, wait, this, am I doing the right thing? And then next thing you know, it goes, I went to this other school or I did this. And hey, remember that cool sweep that you showed me? It actually worked. And you're like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. It actually works, right? So Brad, you know, you want to talk a little bit about that, the kind of evolution of from being a student to actually, you know, developing a brotherhood out there with your school.
Yeah. So when this opportunity got kind of presented to me, if you must, I was still a blue belt. I've been a blue belt for around four, maybe pushing 5 years, which, you know, means whatever. And this was in 2014. I had a buddy that had just got his brown belt, and I asked him if he could just, you know, he'd taught before and stuff like that, and if he could hang around for a little while and help me out running the place, because I was going to do all the business side and I hadn't really taught before. over time, he basically just pushed me into it. And I was asking if he could stay around a year. He stayed about 8 months. Then he took off and he actually went on a jiu-jitsu, I guess.
Sabbatical.
Yeah. Like he went another 6 months and he hit up like 90 plus gyms in that time around the state.
Oh, long gone then, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he hasn't actually moved back. He was planning on moving back down to Phoenix, but he did that. But he got me my start on just like seeing kind of like what you can do and stuff that does work and obviously doesn't work teaching. And honestly, it's probably one of my favorite things to do as far as jiu-jitsu right now. Just like you said, you know, you see guys go to another gym or this and that. And to kind of add to that note, I did a small tournament in my academy just to kind of see how it would run. And, you know, my guys had some decent luck. But I did a large-scale tournament, and that's where I was kind of nervous because we had 150-plus competitors. So it's going to be in my opinion, a serious test of my instruction and my coaching ability.
Right? Did you breathe a sigh of relief after that whole tournament?
Yeah, 100%. You know, because just like you guys were talking here a moment ago, is you see your guys doing well, not just against each other, but against other places. And more importantly, other places that claim to have the best jiu-jitsu in your area. And then your guy that you taught that had no prior experience whoops up on them. You know, I know it's not supposed to have a little bit of ego and stuff, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then that kind of segues into the real jujitsu talk that I wanted to talk, but we'll catch it on the next side of the break. So we'll take a quick one, guys. We'll be right back on the Function versus Fiction podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Function versus Fiction podcast. Currently, we can be found on Stitcher Podcasts and YouTube. Search Function VS Fiction on either platform. Be sure to check out our new segment, The Fortress Focused Minute. This will be a shorter segment that will seek to transcend different subject matters, from combatives, sports, sports entertainment, and many aspects of day-to-day life. Be sure to keep an eye out for that. Everyday people giving their everyday experiences. And before you forget, check out the events page at www.fortresscombat.com/events to see our upcoming courses, seminars, and other exciting events for the upcoming spring and summer season. Back to the show!
And we are back. Thanks again for tuning in on the Function versus Fiction podcast. We're here with Brad from Missoula BJJ. And right before the break, we're kind of talking about a little bit about the tournament stuff and the schools that mentioned a little bit about real jujitsu here. So guys, we know that's a loaded term. John, what's your take on that?
I've floated around on the internet looking at how people set up their websites. And when we were revamping ours last spring, just kind of seeing what's working, what's not working, what kind of terminology. And I started stumbling a lot across this whole, well, we do real jujitsu. And I got kind of in bed for a little bit with a clown show trying to suck me dry on affiliation fees and got me convinced that, like, well, you need to be a part of this because it's a legitimate thing. And, you know, and we're teaching real jujitsu. And I remember even hearing this guy's instructor saying that, like, well, we're doing the real jujitsu. I'm like, what the hell does that even mean? I mean, like, if you're choking somebody out, you're kind of doing some degree of jujitsu, aren't you?
Yeah. But you're paying for brotherhood at that point.
And on top of that, if your terminology of real jujitsu means that your jujitsu has not evolved in 60, 70 years, I probably don't want to be a part of that jujitsu because jujitsu's changed. It's grown.
Absolutely. Look at that 10th planet stuff, man. No joke.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Like, yeah. What they've done to it, how that's changed the world, the way we know it. Everything that's been happening in the cage looks different. And how people will learn. They'll learn the tricks. They'll learn what's working, what's not working. Look at what Sakuraba did to the Gracies for years.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that really challenged them in their game, and things had to change there too. So if you're doing the real jujitsu and it means that it hasn't changed, then it's not for me. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to be able to be growing, evolving, and maintaining some type of functionality.
I'd agree. John, Brad, excuse me.
Yeah. I definitely agree. You know, I mean, even going back, you know, you have all these, what they call traditional martial arts, because I guess it's because they use the, you know, a Japanese language or a foreign language and make you learn numbers and movements and stuff like that. But honestly, you know, we're in the U.S. and why not use English where it's easier to, convey what you want to get across to your students instead of having to have the burden of learning this.
Sure. Plain English. I know Eddie Bravo uses that with 10th Planet. And, you know, he's stated multiple times, like, if it didn't have a name, I gave it a name just so we knew what the heck to call it on the phone, have your own language. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, you're, you know, and that's things that I come from a wrestling background. Shit. You go to the East Coast, you don't even know what half the moves are. They're yelling out because they're named different things, but it's, you know, it's whatever works for you. And, that, you know, bringing that up is like about the real jujitsu. Like, well, what is real jujitsu? Do we go back 100 years, 1,000, you know, do we go back to India? Like, you know, where did it start coming from? I mean, what is it? The original, wrestling Olympics wasn't just a pin. It was also submission.
It was and like a, death.
And it was naked.
And, yeah. And oil. Yeah. Very yeah. Oily too. For
naked.
Some reason.
And you know, yeah. So is that real jujitsu? Who knows? Like, I mean, all I know is, like, what I want to accomplish with jiu-jitsu today is I want to be able to have fun, you know, release some stress, get in shape, and then feel confident that I can defend myself and get myself out of a fight in today's, you know, culture and atmosphere. I don't care about feudal Japan. I don't care about Brazil in the 1920s. I'm here now, and that's what I need to focus on. So I feel like that we can, you know, with you know, the jiu-jitsu today can accomplish those goals that I'm looking to complete. And that's really ultimately what you want, right?
Right.
You want to do things in life that, you know, that satisfy you and, you know, help you live a happier, stronger, more successful existence.
So. Yeah, yeah. But playing devil's advocate, Brad, when somebody says, you know, all those things that you said are great and you want to be able to defend yourself a street fight, you want to be able to have some exercise and do all that kind of cool stuff. But if somebody comes in and says, well, you don't have an affiliation, you don't have the right last name, you don't have the right stripes, you don't even have the right color belt. What would you say to something like that?
Yeah. How can you defend yourself in a street fight if you can't count to 10 in Brazilian Portuguese? Yeah.
Right. Right.
No, I mean, well, what I would say is like, you can check, you can come and take a class and we can roll.
Love it. Love it.
But yeah, put up or shut up.
You know? Yeah.
Like, I had a guy that come in and he came in a few times and he's actually come and trained a few times, but he won't come in because I think his ego's there. He was a black belt in judo and after he had come in, he's like, I'm black belt in this and I'm a brown belt in this, I can't remember, Ryodan jiu-jitsu stuff. And he's like, he said this exactly. And I remember it because I kind of looked at him like, wow, you're pretty presumptuous for being a black belt and you think you're all that.
He's just crazy. Said that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a black belt, and then he goes, this is the statement I'm talking about. He said, basically, I'm a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I looked at him like, huh. No, I just offered. I didn't say anything. I was like, okay, well, come take a class, check it out, this and that. He left and never came back. And then about a year later, he finally came in. And I had a student at the time who had been training maybe 3 to 4 months. He grew up in a wrestling family, didn't wrestle in high school and middle school. His older brothers kind of pushed him out of it, but he had the aptitude, right? So he's a great student. Now he happens to be a purple belt and a stud. But they were about the same size. You know, he's a little bigger than this guy that came in with being, you know, a blue belt and whatnot. Sorry, I had to throw something at one of my guys.
Nice.
So,
still bringing the hammer down. Just because I'm on Skype doesn't mean you got to stop doing your damn drills, people.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, he came in my, you know, 3 or 4 month white belt. That's all the martial arts, submission grappling he'd been training, pretty much put a whooping on him. And this guy had been training for 20 plus years. And I don't know who judo, because I thought he was going to do better than that. And, cause I rolled with him too before that. And I, you know, I'm also about 50 to 60 pounds bigger than a guy. So there was always that excuse. So I was someone similar size and way less experience, and he still got tapped.
But yeah, you should be able to go from one school to the other. If you call yourself a quote unquote martial artist doing this, you should be able to hold your own. Not saying tap everybody out, but come on. Right.
100%. Yeah. 100%. I was kind of like, and I wouldn't mention it if he wouldn't have said, I'm basically a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I would just been like, okay, you know, whatever. It's not his fault that he was in a program that didn't, like, you know, push the thing.
Teach him respect.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, like, and that's the thing. Like, he was in these traditional, what they call, quote unquote, traditional martial arts. And he walks in, like, I'm really casual. I'm like a wrestling coach. You know, I don't have you call me coach or whatever. If you want to call me coach and sensei and stuff like that, I'm not going to get mad, but, you know, I'm more than happy to answer to my name.
Yeah. John, tell Brad about that story, if you haven't already, regarding that you told me on the phone where, yeah, this guy came in, I think was it one of your students came in and you guys were working a little bit on the jiu-jitsu combatives kind of thing. And he's just like, what the heck are you guys doing? And he never came back. I remember that.
Yeah. I don't know what his thought process on it was. This was maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It was right around the beginning of like when MSU was getting filled back up for the semester. And we were doing a Monday night combatives class, and we went in from doing jits into the second class. And it had a little bit to do with getting to weapons and some of the retention issues, but it was more of getting out of somebody's guard. So we were doing some anti-grappling stuff. And guy walks in, he's like, yeah, I just saw your place. I was walking through the parking lot and I was really curious to check it out. And I was like, oh, do you have any background? He said, yeah, I'm from down by Denver. And I'm a purple belt. I was like, oh, all right. Wow. Cool. Great. And every time I find come across an upper belt like that, I get excited because I'm like, oh, maybe there's somebody that wants to come in and work with us a little bit. And
yeah. Show you some stuff.
Show us a little bit of stuff that they got in their arsenal. Because our floor is always open. If we got people coming in, upper ranks or something, and they want to teach something, please, yeah, show something.
Please put a whooping on us, please.
Yeah, we're always ready to receive, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I just want to sit and hang out and watch what you guys are doing. So I went back, and we were doing some stuff that was breaking guards, but it was a lot more combative-based. It was a lot more striking-based. And I got everybody set up doing the drills we were working on, and I come back, and I'm like, yeah, what do you see? You know, I was letting watch people work, and what do you think? And the guy was just dumbfounded. He's like, you know, you went back and you set up the scenario, and I really thought I knew exactly what you were going to do. And that was so different than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, he told me the look on the guy's face.
You know, and it was a reminder for me, and I know you've heard me talk about it before, that, you know, if you're that artist at something, you've perfected this, it means you've probably spent so much time in it that there's a lot of other things you've neglected. So when I heard him say that, I was like, wow, he's perfected himself to the extent that he's probably at a very advanced level in the jiu-jitsu, but look at all these other areas that he's probably blinded. So he comes across somebody that, like, are people that are versed in the grappling or the anti-grappling, and it's going to be problematic for him because it's going to be something that he's never been exposed to.
Exactly.
And yeah, and the guy never came back after he saw that. And I think it was just like, it was so outside the box for him that he was probably like, well, shit, if this is what they're doing, you know, while they're on the ground, what does their jiu-jitsu look like? I don't want a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And heaven forbid something be out of my comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brad, any final words, any final plugs for anybody out there that might be interested in coming and checking you guys out in Missoula?
Oh, nothing too much. I mean, we're just Missoula, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Muay Thai. We have Jiu-Jitsu, and I have some coaches there teaching our Muay Thai program. And then we run a tournament in May. It's if you look up Big Sky Submission Grappling Federation.
Okay, cool.
City Open.
Nice.
Third one in Missoula. I think it's like the sixth tournament I've ran. So other than that, I recently had knee surgery, but I'm going to be heading down to John's as soon as I can and try to get a bunch of cross training in between us and whatnot.
So. Right on. So anybody in the area, any upper belts, please come into Missoula BJJ or Fortress Combat and please put a whooping on us. We really want to learn. Thank you. So with that, we'll say goodbye on this episode of the Function Versus Fiction podcast. We thank you for tuning in. Catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Thanks.
You just heard the Function Versus Fiction podcast presented by Fortress Combat Arts. Be sure to visit us at fortresscombat.com and check us out on Facebook. We'll catch you on the next one. The opinions expressed on this show are that of the hosts and the hosts only. We hope no egos were harmed in the process. Any mention of a brand, system, or label is not necessarily an endorsement by the hosts.
That's all I got.